to Think Like the Enemy, the podcast where we challenge the conventional wisdom and explore alternative viewpoints on the world's most pressing issues. Your host is Frankie Aviles, and every week he'll be joined by a guest commentator to debate the pros and cons of some of the most controversial and consequential policies and actions in history. Even if history is today.
Is today.
From climate change to human rights. From trade wars to cyber attacks. And from democracy to authoritarianism. We'll try to understand the logic, motivations, and implications of the different sides of the argument. Whether you're curious about the complexity and diversity of global politics, or you want to broaden your perspective and critical thinking, this podcast is for you. So tune in and get ready to think like the enemy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Think Like the Enemy. Today, we have a wonderful show for you. I've been talking to you about having somebody in the podcast that actually filled a role that I needed to have filled within our conversation. I don't want to have just any guests here. I am open to the possibility of having anybody just come in and talking to me. But I wanted somebody that is not only a person that I admire, but somebody that actually is bringing some value to the American public. And for me, that person is Mr. Joseph Trimmer. Joseph, introduce yourself. Let's tell the people who you are.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me on your podcast, Frankie. I'm a big fan of the work that you do. Obviously, we've collaborated on a whole lot over the past quarter or so. And you've brought a lot of depth into our reporting here in Texas. Even though you're not in Texas, you've been a huge asset to the culture war and to actually having an impact here in San Antonio and in our state. So Texas, thanks you, sir. I will say who I am, I guess. I am an entrepreneur and a concerned citizen. I was never super involved into politics. I was sort of a centrist. I mostly have just been growing companies for tech startups, launching cities and building distribution centers. I did a lot of work in Latin America for U.S. companies that wanted to expand into LATAM,
okay,
Latin America. And so, and that's who I've been. You know, I'm of Mexican-American descent, and I'm a son of immigrants. And so, you know, with everything that's been happening since COVID, really, is when I started becoming really concerned. And I became concerned as an entrepreneur, right? When you have a local government saying, you must shut your business down or else.
Right.
When you have unelected bureaucrats trying to, and in some cases also the elected ones, but essentially what I realized is that the people that you choose for your mayor and your city council have a way more, it's like a way bigger impact on your daily life.
Absolutely.
Than what the president does, for example. You know, all the attention goes to what the president is doing. Meanwhile, city councils and mayors all over the country get away with a lot of stuff. So when I was told that my business needed to shut down during COVID, I said, absolutely not, make me. And they never actually made me. And so some of the best sales we had were during COVID because all the week just closed. And so there was nothing else to do.
Right.
And people wanted to learn how to fly. And so there you have it. I woke up and then, you know, I saw a lot of instability in the country. I wanted to be back in my home state of Texas, considering everything that was going on in the country.
Right.
Texas is a free state, and I just wanted to be back here. As I got back here, I got involved a little bit with the local politics. I was doing research on the 2024 San Antonio city budget.
Okay.
I found some really nasty things that they were doing in the budget, and I tried to report on it in one of the local studios in town, and they wouldn't have any politics conversations out of their studio. I said, I'll open my own studio then. That's how Free Speech Studios was born. And I started doing journalism. And then through that effort, our networks kind of crossed a path. And
right. They sure through, did.
Through my friend Hernando.
Yes, sir.
I think, I don't know if you met him first or whatever online. And then that's kind of how the connection happened.
Yeah. That's exactly how it happened. Yeah. Yeah. I met Hernando because he was reporting on something that I did not have. And sorry to cut you off. Something that I didn't have any knowledge of, because here in the state of Florida, we don't have a border issue, but we are yet again in the United States. So we have a border issue. If we have it in one state, we have it in all. So that's I started noticing his reporting. I followed him and then I just sent him a message. I was like, hey, my name is so-and-so. My name is Francisco Ile, blah, blah, blah. This is what I do. He's like, if you can find this for me, I will tweet it out. And I was like, okay, I have 54 followers. I have nothing to actually like lose. And this was like 3 months ago.
Right.
So when I came back to him with the actual asylum claims, how they are actually structured, the money behind it, he was like, whoa, what the fuck is going on? So that's when I actually got the first tweet out from him. And I went from 54 followers to 1,200 followers in a week. And then I was like, okay, we got something here. So he was like, what else can you find? And I was like, okay.
Hernando has a highly engaged audience.
Very engaged. Very engaged. And I thank him a lot for, you know, for believing in me, believing in the product that I was providing, because it looked like garbage. It really did. It was just me on a PowerPoint presentation. I never knew how to do editing. I'd never done anything with anything cyber in the sense of, you know, like content creation. I've never done it. Like, fuck, I was an analyst. Like, I wasn't somebody that was like looking for, oh, I want the cloud. Like, I want to do this. No. All I wanted to do was to help somebody that was, and in my opinion, I still think that he's providing a service to the nation. He has his way of doing things, and we have to respect it because it's America at the end of the day. But for me, that was how I found Hernando. And then he was like, hey, I know somebody that you might be interested in getting to know. And that's how I found you. And then we follow each other and we started doing this. And now I've been probably, I guess what, like 17 or 20 freaking episodes in your podcast, which is crazy. And I'm blessed to have, you know, the opportunity to be in your podcast. And I thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah. And
we need more, man.
Thank you to Hernando for making that connection.
Absolutely.
Hernando's a real patriot. He's been putting the work on, you know, fighting tyranny. And, you know, he was doing work back with the COVID mandates. He really was. So big shout out to Hernando Arce. He's a good dude. And I had a similar experience where, you know, once Hernando invited me to go to the Migrant Resource Center in San Antonio because our friend Danny said, oh, you should reach out to this dude. And so look at how things happen. So Danny connected with Hernando. Hernando said, you need to come see this. I went over there. Everything was true. And after interacting with Hernando and his following and some of his friends as well, my account blew up. I mean, it's not close to what he's got, but for sure we have some traction. And so big shout out to Hernando Arce.
Absolutely. Well, this is what we're going to do today. Today we have a particular story for you. The American people, the people brought the world and follow Think Like the Enemy. We have a couple little tidbits of information that have been coming out, particularly through our, you know, scope. And the first thing we're going to talk about is how the effect of illegal immigration can be felt in the United States, no matter if you are a border state or not. That is the first story that we have. The second story that we have something that is touching the state of Texas, because apparently if you have an opinion, you are wrong. And this is something that I feel and I believe it's utter bullshit. Why? Because last time I checked, we don't live in a communist country. That's the second piece of information. The third thing that we're going to talk about is something that I think that a lot of people are not in tune with because of one shape way or another. Again, they don't feel how illegal immigration can potentially impact them. But once it touches your state, like we're going to talk on the third piece of information, that's when you start thinking a little bit differently. And I want people to understand that it doesn't need to be like this, because at the end of the day, we are all Americans. It doesn't matter where you are within the continental United States or even the states that are outside the continental United States. Illegal immigration still affects you. Third thing that we have is something that is as well domestic, but it is something that deals with the laws. And the laws in this country are some of the most extreme in some ways, historically, not only, but yet again, now in our present American Constitutional Republic. This particular piece of information is one that is going to open a Pandora box, and a Pandora box that it could potentially lead to the suppression of the citizens of the United States. The next one that we have is how the sovereignty of the state is important in its inception and its in actual exercising by the governors of the state. Something that I know that in that particular piece of information, Joseph is going to have a lot of things to say. And I cannot wait until I hear his actual response. And it touches the state of Texas and the crisis in Haiti. The last piece of information, we're going abroad for this one. Because something that Joseph pointed out, there's somebody in the world that is making moves that can impact the world in a way that hasn't been seen since World War II. Is it the beginning of World War III? If this person gets his way, stick with us. Like, share, follow, and subscribe. And please share this information with everybody that you know. This is my take on what's happening in America today. So now let's cut to the first piece of information. I'm going to read something to you real quick, Joseph. And I hope, can you see it over here?
I can see it.
Perfect. So we have that per DHS sources to me, this is Mr. Bill Milligan. The Haiti man arrested for raping. Check this shit out, because this is just fucking stupid. For raping a 15-year-old disabled girl at a migrant hotel in Massachusetts Wednesday night, came to the U.S. via the Biden administration's parole program for Haitians, which allowed him to fly into JFK Airport in New York City direct from Haiti in June 2023. With a 2-year parole grant. We're told that ICE has now filed a detainer on 26-year-old Corey B. Alvarez with local authorities, and that he had sponsor listed in New Jersey as part of his parole. This man, and we're going to show his face because this is a scum of the scum of the fucking earth. And for those of you who are not watching right now, it's basically the picture of this piece of shit that raped a 15-year-old disabled girl. And for me, this is something that touches me deeply, because as you know, I have a disabled child. So when I see a piece of shit like this, that just raped a disabled girl for no reason other than his sexual gain and depravities, this just boils my freaking skin. When you see something like this, Joseph, what do you think?
Well, you know, I think that the Biden administration owns that rape. I mean, that there's no other way to go about it. The Biden administration, as soon as it got into office, took a series of executive orders that opened up the border to the world with very little vetting process. We allow, you know, total strangers to enter our country, and, you know, even if you assume the best of all humanity, we do know that 1 out of every 100 people are a psychopath that don't care about anybody's, or have no empathy for what people are going through, don't care about causing pain. And, you know, and that's just on the psychological level. But how many criminals are also coming here? How many people that, you know, would burn the U.S. flag? How many people that are here to do us harm? You know,
absolutely.
So, yeah, I look at this and I'm like, man, this another one. There was one yesterday, right, and one the day before, and probably every single day now for months, there's a story of a criminal alien in this country hurting an American citizen. In this case, he hurt You know, somebody else was here as a criminal alien inside one of the shelters. But this is more common than people realize. Even these crimes happening in the facilities. You might remember that through your reporting on the ORR website regarding the children camps, we saw that they have a process by where they address criminal alien and criminal alien sexual assault.
Correct.
It's literally in the manual because it happens all the time, and they're supposed to report. They're supposed to respond according to this manual, but you know, this is very sad. It's not surprising. And what infuriates me the most is that, you know, in this case, it was a minor that was raped, and it is God's children that are paying a price for the, you know, treasonous Joe Biden policies that have opened up the border to a whole bunch of criminals. And so
I agree.
That's my initial reaction to the story. It's we see this happening over and over and over again. When and how do we put an end to this? For sure, if Joe Biden is in the White House, this will continue happening because he did this on purpose. He really did.
Yeah.
There's
100%.
No
I understand that the people of Haiti are happen to be in a very particular conundrum. And we can see how the international community is responding to Haiti's crisis right now. I'll tell you how they're responding. The border in Dominican Republic is pretty much closed. Number one, if you don't have an actual visa to go to the Dominican Republic, you're not getting into the Dominican Republic. It's so amazing how an actual Caribbean nation can have a secure border because they just shoot you on sight. Like I am pretty sure that that's what they do because I've heard the stories and I've talked to people that live in the border in Dominican Republic and they'll go like, no, they just shoot the motherfuckers, man. They'll get through, but then they'll pay a price if they do something stupid here. So that part is pretty interesting. And then yet again, here we have that we are the only country that happens to be providing assistance for these people. And there's two pushes that are happening right now. The first push is they're going to bring the people that are actually seeking asylum in the United States because of this crisis, which we get it. That is what the system is there for. Broken or not, that's what it's there for. They bring them to Guantanamo Bay. They bring them into the harbor. They check them out. They vet them. They send them to Florida because in Florida, there's a humongous Haitian community. So is in New York. But now they're just bringing them here. Okay, cool. No problem. Let's do the math. One out of these 30,000 people, one in every 100. Let's say that they're an actual gang member that happens to be a cannibalist. Let's say that they sit down in West Palm, which is where they're at right now. And they go, hey, man, Mr. Cannibal that happens to be next to me. Why don't we just hang out and we just go kill some people and eat them? Let's see that that's the notion that we have. Think of how, let's put an actual country to it. Let's see how Russia thinks of something like this. They'll be like, bro, this is like prime freaking real estate for us to just send our operatives. Because now everybody is not focused in Florida or in Texas. Everybody's going to be focused on Florida because somebody's going to do something stupid. Somebody's going to look at this man that you're seeing in your screen. And for those of you who are not seeing, is a very ugly looking motherfucker right now. And a deplorable human being. And they're going to be like, we can just send more like that. Our people look pretty the same as the 60% of the American people do. They're going to pass unscathed. What can we do in America if we had the power to do this kind of stuff and just send our citizens abroad or our agents? Because at this point, they're agents of an actual foreign country. We look like buffoons on every single step of the way. And we continue to look like buffoons. Let's move to the next topic. Because I'm going to keep getting heated because this is a crime against somebody that has a disability. And you got me all fucked up if you think I'm not going to say something about it. This is just fucking stupid. It shouldn't happen. Close the fucking border. Stop fucking around. What are we waiting for? 9/11 to happen again at a very large scale that we lose our infrastructure when it comes to electric, to the internet, to water, to our actual transportation system being completely fucked for decades because we just want to peddle to the fucking idea that it is okay to treat our country like this. The federal government is a problem in our country. It is not that we're talking about it because we fucking hate America. On the contrary, we love America. And that is a problem that we have here today. Next piece of information comes to us thanks to Mr. Joseph Tremor. And this is one that as soon as I read it, I reposted it because I know that what Joseph sends out, it's true. It's 100% true. Why? Because he's not in the business, like I am not, to be lying to anybody. Let's start with that. Secondly, when I read this particular headline and it says Vicente González compares Latino Trump supporters to Jews for Hitler. And I was like, hold the fuck up. I was like, so you're telling me that the South Texas Democrat said Latinos who support former President Donald J. Trump, they forgot the J there because, you know, they're so fucking stupid when they report this kind of shit. And they forgot, you know, forget to spell names properly, but whatever, a former president. You know, that they feel that that's enough, but whatever. Are voting against their self-interest, but Republicans recoiled at the comparison. Explain to me, Mr. Douchebag in Chief, because you just earned my title of Douchebag in Chief for the day, Vicente González. Explain to me how supporting somebody that it is for the interests of the American people in comparison to Jewish for Hitler. I want to know that. Wouldn't you want to know that, Joseph? Like, when you look at this and you are a Texan, a very proud Texan, and God bless you for that, my friend. What do you think that everybody that shares values with you thinks when they read some stupidity like this?
Well, it's infuriating. It really is, because this is a big, it's offensive to Mexican Americans. It's offensive to the Hispanic community that now we know overwhelmingly, at least a majority of Hispanics are now supporting Donald J. Trump. And so in one dumb comment, this South Texas Democrat has essentially alienated 60% of Hispanics. He's insane. A big shout out to, if you go back, Frankie, one screen.
Sure.
So this reporting initially, so this is from the Texas Tribune. And if you look at that retweet that I did, the first person that actually tweeted this out was a person called, I think her name is Michelle from Lone Star Left. I think okay. It's what it's called.
Let's look it up real quick.
Yeah, you should follow Lone Star Left, dude. Like, I follow, look at the bottom of that. You scroll down, you can see I was actually quote tweeting Michelle from Lone Star Left. Michelle is a leftist, I'll say this. And okay. So what's very interesting from Michelle is that if you look at her comment, it was like, do you agree? Essentially, the left or the Democrat position on something like this is that, yes, essentially, like, she's not saying it, but she's saying it, right. You know what I mean? And right. So I quote tweeted Michelle and I was like, hey, and then I added my commentary to it. But shout out to Michelle. She actually did post this first. Unfortunately, it appears that she was supporting this. But
yeah, we can read here and you can see it on your screen as well. Look at this, bro. Yeah, chickens for nugget. That's the comparison that these leftist douchebags have. That's interesting. Let's dive a little bit deeper.
Yeah, I mean, I follow, this is what I talk about. Like, I consider myself a centrist, Frankie. So I follow people on the left and I follow the right. And absolutely. So I'm trying to filter what's going on both sides. And so this is the perfect proof. I am watching the left. It's right. Just that the left currently believes only dumb crap. And right. So
how would you be able to have an actual educated guess on the things that are happening in our country if you don't follow both sides of the story? Wouldn't you agree?
That's exactly right. So, Michelle, I don't know, you're probably not watching this, but if you are, big shout out. I do appreciate what she does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're on opposing sides of the aisle, so to speak. She's on the far left and I'm in the center. And so, which now is called the far right, I guess.
Right. But, of course, you are a Christian nationalist and a neo-centrist, by the way, and a neoconservative as well on that point. That came out yesterday.
I think I might be a neo-conservative.
Ooh, double neo. That's an interesting one. A little bit more and you'll get into the Matrix, brother.
We are in the Matrix.
Right. Psych. Hey, there you go. Psych.
Anyway, Michelle, I do appreciate what she does in that, one, she's very honest about her belief system. Right. She's very honest about her ideology. And so I'm like, okay, look, I disagree with Michelle a lot 100%. On almost everything, but I do value that she has a right to speak, and that without Michelle, a leftist, I wouldn't have seen this. And so I'm glad she tweeted it out. And this is also why censorship is so bad. If I was like, just ban the left, I would never know that Vicente Gonzalez had said this outrageous thing. Absolutely. And so I don't dislike Michelle. I just dislike every single thing she says and believes. But as a human being and as a citizen journalist that cares about Texas in her own way, I do respect that for sure.
Right, and 100%.
From my perspective, I'm like, I'm in. We're both in this battle, and I'm glad that she's in it.
Yeah.
I just think she is massively misinformed and wrong. But
and that's okay. That's a beautiful thing about this country. That's what free speech is all about. And that's why I think at its core, it's why you founded the Free Speech Studios.
That's exactly right. Michelle, I would love to have Michelle on my podcast, by the way.
That would be amazing.
It would be a great conversation.
I think so too. Let's see if we can reach out to her, bro.
Oh yeah. Well, she knows who I am. You might want to reach out to her and see if you can get her on your podcast.
That'll be interesting.
Look, I replied to Michelle the other day to one of the things that I agreed with, actually. It was like, it's just like attacking the federal government over something. And I replied to her, the U.S. government is beyond corrupt. She liked that reply. And I was like, well, that's something we can agree on.
Right, so, exactly.
U.S. federal government is corrupt beyond.
It really is. It really is. And
well known.
It's one of those things that you kind of go like, how did it get this bad? How did we get to the point that we have been completely taken away from the contextual meaning of what it is to be a constitutional republic? How is it possible? Like how many decades did it take to erode the sentiment and the feeling of the American people? That's what I, as an analyst, I want to see the data. Like I want to see. And I haven't had the chance because, you know, with my situation with my son and everything else, to sit down and dissect on how public view has changed for the past 4, 5, 6 decades. Because this is not something that happens from yesterday to today.
I think that if you did that analysis, even like over the past 40 or the past 24 months, I think that the American population as a whole currently today is having a massive shift. And listen, even leftist extremists like Michelle and people on the center can agree the Biden administration is a ball of corruption. I do agree with Michelle on that.
Which is a good thing that she can accept that things are definitely not going the American way. If we want to agree on that, I'm okay with that.
I love her handle because it's Lone Star Left, which tells me she is a Texan. And so we're in the battle for Texas. We just believe it a little different.
Right. And that's perfect. That's what this country was founded on. And that is what, you know, what needs to happen in our mode of governance for it to actually thrive. Like this government, this mode of governance and this experiment actually got started with a debate. This is wrong. We should change it. Let's change it. How can we change it? And then the idea started going around. One thing that a lot of people don't know and that they don't want to actually look into, Joseph, and this is something that I've talked to you privately many, many times. Some of the foundations of the actual Constitution and the way that it was written and the amendments got done were actually inspired by federalism. That's one of the actual modes that implemented the Constitution for what it is today. So the papers of federalism can be interpreted in some way as a leftist idea. So yes, we are a constitutional republic, but that doesn't mean that the ideas on both sides of the aisles actually helped to shape the nation that we have in front of us today.
Sure.
So it's an interesting topic, and it's one that I think that I'm gonna do into like a couple shorts, like series and stuff like that, just to talk about the little tidbits of how, you know, the Constitution came to be for what it is. But it's one that needs to be explored a little bit more. We're gonna move to the next one. The next piece of information comes to you via Florida. This is the actual response to the rape of a woman by three illegal criminals. It happened in West Palm Beach or Palm Beach County. And the expressions of this particular sheriff are ones that I need to share with the world. So I hope that you are, we're going to say ready to hear, you know, the expressions of this sheriff, because they're not necessarily colorful, because he was in an actual news conference when he said them. But they are some of the most top-notch expressions that I've heard from an actual public servant to date. And here we are with this video. I don't know if you have seen it before or not, Joseph.
I haven't, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm just here to
Video.
deliver a message. And the message is, don't think for a minute that what happens at the Mexican border doesn't affect us here. Here you have three illegals that should have never been in this country that have committed a very serious crime, kidnapping and sexual battery of a lady. They shouldn't be here. This is the same thing that we saw where the student was killed by the person that was here illegally. That's why we pay so much attention. Folks, our border is the ocean. There's no fence there. We are the fence. That's why we spend as much time as we do and dedicate resources to stopping people before they get here. In all likelihood, these three people came through Mexico. They didn't come through here. I can tell you that for sure. We would have checked in our database.
That is the first piece of interesting information that I have heard an actual sheriff's department share with the American people. He's not only giving assurance to the American people and the Floridians that live in the county itself, he is assuring Floridians in general that people are being checked on a regular basis here in the state of Florida. And I have to agree with the sheriff itself, because there is a very, not a police state, because we're not a police state, but we have a very strong presence when it comes to our actual law enforcement on every community. And I'll give you a perfect example. Where I live, I can throw a stone and I hit a cop, either retired or currently active, either in the city or with the county or with the federal or the Florida Highway Patrol. Literally, I go down one street, there's two in one corner. I go in the other street, there's two in the other corner. Those are their personal houses or, you know, private property. But yet again, we are assured in my community that we have police presence. And if something happens, they're going to respond. And you see them all the time. Somebody gets called 911, they automatically happen to be next to your house. And you're like, well, wait a minute, what the fuck? Where the fuck is the neighbor coming from? He's like, oh, I'm here because, you know, they call me. Hold up. So you're telling me that the actual county sheriff called you and told you respond to this even if you're in your off time? Yes, that's what we do for the community. So this is a very, very interesting piece of information that he brought to us. Let's continue watching the video.
But for them to be in this country, to be able to commit these type of crimes is unconscionable. The federal government has put the American people in jeopardy. Our intelligence section, who works very closely with the FBI, has also identified that the most dangerous gangs in the world are now in Miami from Venezuela. They make MS-13 look like school kids. They're not going to stay just in Miami. They're going to go where they need to go to do what they do. They don't know if it's Dade, Broward, Palm Beach County. They just go to do what they're going to do, and we're going to have to deal with them. You know, forget about the 3 million people that came across the border, put their hands up to Border Patrol and says, I give up. You know, they get the cell phone and the gift card and all that kind of garbage. What about the 1.5 million people that they call gotaways? Those are.
That's an interesting piece as well. So you hear from him, Joseph. He knows that they're getting the free resources to move around the country freely. But yet again, his hands are tied because he can't do anything against the federal government. like we said before, when the whole Shelby Park Eagle Pass situation happened, they work hand in hand with the FBI.
Frankie, I was able to read the subtitles, but no audio comes through when you share this way.
Oh, okay. Got you. On my end, it's actually recording. I'll tell you what he said.
Yeah, what was the crime that these three people did?
Sexual battery against a woman.
Okay, so one thing that based on the subtitles, one thing that I disagree with him is that he said that we should be concerned about the gotaways. We should be concerned about the gotaways. But just because somebody turned themselves to the CBP at the border after they crossed the river doesn't mean that they wouldn't do something like this. And correct. So I disagree with his premise of just the gotaways are these people. They're all the gotaways. Every right. single one of them, including the ones that have turned themselves in, are here illegally. The first thing that they did was break our laws. And that's how they came in.
Correct. Just and because... I really appreciate that comment because you make the point, which it is that we are disconnected as a nation. Because the notion that he's having from the 1.5 million people, the gotaways, thinking that that is the actual problem, it is the systemic issue in an essence. That's a good valid point, Joseph. Let me see if... he goes a little bit further, and we're gonna stop the video here. It's already 2 minutes into it. This is what he said in the end, Joseph. He basically said that the actual Biden administration should be held accountable for this. That is sure. very true. The second thing that he said that I thought was something extremely interesting and powerful was that he's been in law enforcement for the past 52 years. This man basically got out of high school, got a degree, and he jumped into law enforcement. You can tell he's in his late 60s, early 70s. Wealth of knowledge. His actual county is the one that deals basically with counterterrorism for the whole south of Florida. So he is a very, 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 very knowledgeable individual. And what he's saying, the question that was asked, it was only one question that was asked on this video from a reporter, and it was, do you think that the actual increase on these illegal immigrants coming into the United States are actually higher and more prone to have an attack like in September 11? Are you seeing some of the indicators? And he was like, yes, I've never seen it like this before in 52 years of law enforcement. I've never seen it this bad. I don't know when, but I know that it will happen. And I hope that we're ready. That was the end of his video. So... the echo of the sentiment that we have in the country from law enforcement is not if it will happen, but when is it going to happen? If that is not frightening to each and every one of you that is watching at home right now, I don't know what the hell would be. Honestly, I don't know what the hell would be.
Because we have the National Sheriff's Association coming out with the same thing, saying correct. There is going to be a terrorist attack on our nation as the sheriffs of America. We're telling the American people. And why aren't people, like, where are the elected leaders with a little bit of courage? I've been saying this from here in Texas. The Texas government needs to stop playing games and charge Mayorkas with crimes. That's it.
Agreed. But yet again, people are more worried about what their political future is going to look like than what the actual betterment and the actual position of our nation is, period. Because if you are sitting in Afghanistan or you're sitting in Yemen and you see that people are coming unchecked to the American border and you hate America so much because they have gone around the world and bombed the shit out of your people and your personal opinion and they have done so much harm, what is stopping you from coming into our actual borders and our actual shores, coming across the fucking border and creating havoc here? What is stopping you? Nothing. Nothing is stopping you. Something that I've been saying since day one. More so, they don't want to, and this is me speaking on, not on behalf of anybody, but me speaking to the actual followers that I have in the Middle East. If you want to be mad at terrorists for doing anything, you should start with your own country. Because the biggest issue that has happened in the Middle East is domestic terrorism. And yet again, your countries that are not elected and your officials have made it happen. That's it. That's what I tell you. Should you be, you know, able to defend yourself in your own home? Absolutely. But then if you do, you have 30 or 40 crazy motherfuckers that come in a truck and bomb the shit out of you, rape your kids, rape your wife, leave you there for death, cut your head off, call it a day.
Sounds like Baltimore.
Sounds exactly like Baltimore or like Chicago or like anywhere else that we have right here in the United States of America. And that is the actual issue. Remember, if you're so far into this video, and we're right now at 39 minutes, like, share, comment, subscribe. I need you to get this message out. And it's not the opinions of Joseph Trimmer, not the opinions of Francisco Viles. This is the actual black and white data, the actual footage, the actual video, the actual audio from people that are in an actual capacity as a United States actual law enforcement official or an actual government position telling you that we are at peril. We are. If we do not take control of our country and its borders, we are going to lose the war. Against who? We don't know yet, but the war is coming.
Now, well, for sure, Frankie, so yeah. If I just may add something, and
yeah, absolutely,
perhaps this is something that you typically wouldn't have on your show, because mm-hmm. I know that you are much more analytical and would like to have sources for everything.
Yes.
But let's call myself a little bit more of an activist.
Okay, perfect. I love it.
Here's what I want to say, though. I am extremely concerned, very, very concerned about what happens next.
Okay.
I think we mentioned it on my podcast, where it's like, now you have the FBI out there in front of the American people saying, and remember, this is the Joe Biden FBI. And so you've got the FBI out there saying this. What happens if there are a series of terrorist attacks before the election? I want to know if there will be an election or if this is the strategy that they're playing. And so I know you, again, you do more actual data and analytics, yeah, yeah, but yeah. I have that feeling that there is more to this story that has not been discovered yet. And unless you've already done some research, I don't know.
I have, yeah.
Great. I want to know what you found, because I just have this bad feeling about this. Yeah, beyond yeah. the terrorist attack, how does this tie in to our ability to turn this around for the country? If we can't vote, then that's going to be a lot harder.
The first thing is that the pieces are in the chessboard. That is the first notion that we need to understand. Everything is in play for our elections to not happen, because we have the actual manpower in this country right now, undocumented immigrants, undocumented illegal aliens, whatever you want to call them, it doesn't matter to me, that have a possible ideology with a terrorist group or a actual drug cartel. That's number one. You have that on top of that for the past 20 years or so. Chinese citizens, actual members of the CCP, have been buying rural America slowly. And they have been buying it in an actual effort, in my sincere and honest to God opinion, to disrupt, when the time comes, the actual rural American sentiment. Why? Because they're implementing their own stuff in their actual land at this point, right?
And a push. Yeah. I think that you're right, because I think that people really underestimate.
Yes.
People underestimate the timeline that China plays on. China right now, arguably, mm-hmm. Some people have made the argument that China is still fighting the opium wars from the 1800s by flooding the West with fentanyl. And correct. So they are a country that is thousands of years old.
Correct.
And so the timeline that they work on is, it's fine to undermine the United States. Just if you can weaken the United States just 1% every year, in 100 years, we've collapsed. And so correct. The battle that we're fighting is very hard to fight from the United States. because our political structure, our system, the way we govern is not based on a 100-year plan.
Correct.
Or a 500-year plan.
Nope. It's on a 5-year plan.
It's based on 2 years, right? Like every Correct. 2 years to have these congressional elections or whatever.
Yeah, 2 years, so, 4 years, and then 6 years. So, yes.
How does a democracy like ours, how does a republic like ours with this type of structure and a political situation where we're so divided
right.
that we're fighting an enemy that is not divided at all?
No.
They have a plan and they're executing it carefully. They've been for decades and they know what's next.
Right.
Do we know what's next? And I'm freaking out about that, Frank.
So going back, you know, if you take care of rural America, are you taking care of two things on a analytical perspective? You're taking care of the possibility of the United States producing its own food. That's number one. And number two, where the American values are strongest in this country is in rural America. Because rural America lives the American dream every single morning. They wake up, they go to a job that they love, they provide for their families, and they love the flag. Nobody can tell you otherwise. And if somebody is telling you otherwise, that there's a bunch of races, you know, pieces of shit or whatever you want to call, you tell them that they can go fuck themselves. Because that is the honest to God's truth, in my opinion. Rural Americans are the most, I would say, patriotic individuals that we have in America today, period. Because they live the American dream. They really do. They believe in their community. They believe in empowering everybody around them and giving them the benefit of the doubt to include them into their community. There might be some...
You're 100% right. And you know what? The left knows this,
right,
too.
Exactly.
That is why, and maybe this is a video... You have MSNBC out there right now saying the biggest threat to the United States is rural white Americans.
Correct. Correct. Because they tell you every single time what they're fearing, what they're going to go against. They tell you every single time. Because within their ideology, and this is something that has come down from the Marxist era and the socialist push in the world and communism. If they tell you beforehand and you do nothing about it, then they... wash their hands like Pontius Pius. They
right.
wash their hands. They said, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to wash our hands. Everything's okay. Because we told you and you fucked up when you elected me. Because within their mindset, that's, you know, something that might be wrong. I don't think I am. I don't give a shit if I am. But that's pretty much what they seem to do and how they seem to push things. Which is so interesting because there's another push too that happened back in 1994. When China got included into the G20, all of a sudden it only took China 18 years to replace the United States as the actual biggest GDP in the world. How did they do that? Well, let me tell you a quick story about Evergreen, a wonderful construction company that boasted the actual GDP of China by 45%, sometimes 50%, on ghost towns. Because they basically had nothing to construct for, but yet again, they constructed the hell out of some things. And they bolstered their GDP in a way with cheap manufacturing, very low-cost shipping, and then all of a sudden, they took a page and ripped it off of the Art of War, which, oh, who wrote the Art of War? Was it Sun Tzu? Oh, was he a Chinese, you know, emperor? Holy shit, he was. And now you're flooding America with fentanyl because you're giving it to the cartels in Mexico. You actually sold them the printing presses so they can actually print and press their own pills and ship it a little bit easier through the border, which literally I knew somebody that actually did that for a living. And he would go to El Paso and he would go to the border. He would grab a bag with 12,000 pills and he would come across the border because he had a passport. And that's how easy he was make, you know, it was for him to make money. So you have that, you have rural America, you have that the cartels are literally on every major city. So if we know the Hispanic community like we do, because we are happen to be part of it, we're very grateful individual. If you do me a good solid deed, I'm going to be grateful to you for the rest of my life. I will give you the shirt off my back if I had to, because I am so grateful to you and the opportunity and the actual way that you treated me at one point in my life. So with that being said, let's say that China all of a sudden decided that, hey, Mr. Cartel, how is it that we have not done something different? How is it that we haven't sit down and we talked about what is going to happen when the time comes? I have the infrastructure to disrupt rural America. You have the infrastructure to disrupt actual big cities in America and actual urban settings. Why don't we partner up with somebody in the Middle East that happens to hate America so much that they're willing to die for it, and all we got to do is just hold this shit down. And there you have it. You don't have a country anymore. Because it only needs to happen in one state that has a large enough population. Let me say, New York City. Or San Francisco. Or San Diego. Or Los Angeles. Or Dallas, Texas. I don't think they're going to do that in Dallas, Texas, because that would be dumb, because everybody's packing some heat. But yet again, a lot of people will not have the experience to deal with an urban setting warfare. And who does? Majority of the veterans that live in the middle of the country, nowhere, because they know that it's coming. So everything is in play. Everything is exactly where it needs to be. How is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? I don't know. But if I was a betting man, I would say that it would be really interesting to see if the actual elections in November happen. That is the first thing. That's going to be so interesting to see if it actually happens. So if 2 weeks before, month before, something happens in the country, God forbid, and this is not me saying that something will happen, I have no information of the same. I am not attributing anything of that sort. I am not actually advising anybody for anything like that. I'm just saying that it is the actual pieces in the board are in play for something like that to potentially happen in the United States of America. And what do? They suspend the elections. They take the Supreme Court out, and we have an autocracy, or we have an actual socialist state or a communist state or a combination of all. And there goes America. That's how easy it is. All they need to do is cry wolf enough, hard enough, loud enough, because we know that the American people will just topple at the idea of something like that happening. And the votes are there in Congress. They will pass it because you have half of the Republicans that don't give a shit, and they'll just be like, ah, fuck it, we're going to vote, and they go forward. That's how stupid it is. And the next piece of information that we're going to talk about is exactly about the possibility of something like that happening. And it is basically a video here. Since Joseph cannot, you know, hear it, we're not going to play, but we're going to read a little bit about it. This happened in Pontiac, Michigan. A jury on Thursday convicted James Crumbly of involuntary manslaughter in connection with his teenage son's deadly shooting in 2021. In step with his wife, was found guilty last month on the same charge. The jury's decision after 10 hours of deliberation caps a landmark case that, for the first time in the United States, held the parents of a mass shooter criminally responsible. James and Jennifer Crumbly's son, Ethan, who was 15 when he opened fire at Oxford High School in suburban Detroit, pled guilty as an adult and was sentenced in December to life in prison without the possibility of parole. When I read the story, Joseph, I said, okay, good for the actual parents of the slain victims. The parents of these kids that died on that horrific day, I think that they got some closure today. I really do think so. Because if something happens to your child, that is the first thing you want to do. You want revenge. You want some form of closure. It is extremely hard to take care of a young mind and a tiny little human being that you literally carry him when he was a baby, and for you to see him taken away from you like that for no reason whatsoever. It is very hard. But, and here's the but, and you tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm right. This can open a Pandora box. And this can open a Pandora box in a way that we have never seen before in jurisprudence in this day and age in our country. Because if you can actually charge somebody with involuntary manslaughter on this particular case, that the kid actually grabbed the gun, took it away from him, from them, and went out and did this heinous crime. What is the jurisprudence when somebody steals your gun, steals your car, hits somebody with it, shoots somebody with it, but you reported it? What is the actual, what's going to be the actual legal precedent for this? Because it can open a lot more things. Let's say that the gun was actual ghost gun. So what laws are actually dictated on that? Is it the jurisprudence from this particular, you know, case? Or is it going to be the actual gun laws of our country? Or is it going to be hit with two different charges? making it completely impossible for somebody to get away from the ever-growing judicial machine in our country. What do you think, Joseph?
I mean, I see your point that this could be a slippery slope. My gut reaction as a person that supports the Second Amendment, that thinks that Americans should be armed, is that
agreed.
As a parent, there is a certain amount of responsibility, a lot. Like, kids grab guns and kill themselves by accident for this country. You know, they think it's a toy or something and they end up shooting. And so if the kid was over 18, in this case, it sounds like they're trying him as an adult.
Because of the actual severity of his crime. Yes, absolutely.
Right. But I think that in the United States, when it comes to what your kids do, historically, it has been something where the parents are responsible. For example, your kid is not going to school, they become truant, and then the parents are held to account for that. Because the person is below the age of 18, then they're not adults. And so when you have a kid, essentially the parent is the adult for the kid. And so the question that I have about this is, well, was the precedent set in such a way that it's clear what we're doing here? Because if it's not, then it could be a slippery slope. But when you talk about, hey, you know, parents had a mentally ill, you know, son or daughter in their home, they know this, and they leave their gun around without locking it. It seems wildly reckless to do that.
100%. They shouldn't be gun owners at all.
Exactly. You should, if you own a gun, you should know how to use it. You should be practicing, and you should be securing your gun, because it is a dangerous, it's a tool, but it can be very dangerous in the hands of an evil person, a mentally ill person.
Agreed.
Or somebody that just doesn't know how to use it.
100%,
and so
yes.
Initial reaction is like you were saying, I mean, it's so sad for the victims. I'm happy that there was some justice. The parents are probably, you know, maybe they do have a little bit of closure related to this incident.
They will never have full closure. We understand that.
They'll never get over it, but right. At least there's some semblance of justice.
Yes.
I think that we just have to be very careful about what this judge actually created as precedent.
Yeah.
I haven't read the court's decision.
Correct. The court's decision, I don't think, is fully out yet. And if it is, you know, I apologize for not having it fully, you know, to the viewers and to the listeners. Because I thought the same. My initial reaction was the same, like I said. And I think it is, you know, it's a good piece of legislation, or a good piece of judgment for that matter, because it's not a legislation. But I want to see the actual SCOTUS come out and have an opinion on this.
You have to have that, because otherwise it could end up just further eroding our constitutional rights.
Right.
And so,
correct.
But yeah, we have to, we actually, in this specific case, I think that the way that things are worded in the decision is going to be important.
Yes.
Because look, I kind of agree with this. If you didn't secure your guns and your gun committed a crime, then you should probably be held responsible for that. It's like, it's similar to, any number of liability things.
100%.
Like, if you kill somebody through your actions,
you
could
be liable for such. Yeah.
And this is the charge, involuntary manslaughter, yeah. Right? Like, let's say you're driving a car. Let's say this, you park your car on the side of the road and you left it in neutral for some crazy reason. And the car rolls away and hits a person on the sidewalk. Yeah. You will be charged, if that person dies, with involuntary manslaughter.
Absolutely. It is the same precedent. And I think that's what he, you know, what the judge and the jury used for this particular instance. But I think, again, this was talked about in a podcast that I follow, which is a PBD podcast. And they were like, you're going to see the Sandy Hook parents come back and file a lawsuit against the actual parents. And they're going to open the case. And it is
based on this precedent, then
correct. You can.
Was that a situation? And I don't remember this now, but was that a similar situation?
Yeah. Somebody came in and they killed. Basically, it was in a elementary school. They killed like 21 kids.
But was that person a minor?
The person, I don't remember if he was a minor or not. Which we can look it up real quick. Let's look it up real quick.
I think this is what makes it kind of okay is that this person was a minor, and so in that case, he has no, like, literally the parents own this.
So 14 children died, and it was Adam Lanza, and we got to see how 20 Sandy Hook shooting. Let's look it up real quick. December 14, 20 children, 20, see, I was close. It was 20 children and 6 adults. And then the attack began when 20-year-old Adam Lanza.
See, so, in this case, this would be the same as somebody breaking into your house and stealing your gun unless the parents bought it for them or something right. like
that. That's where the, you know, where the actual president can come into play. And that's what I want to see. I want to see the actual opinion from the Supreme Court justices on this one. Because I think it is one that we all need to have. It doesn't matter because
the other thing is you can keep expanding this, right? Like, because right. It could be like, okay, now the parents have been charged with involuntary manslaughter. Does that mean that you could also extend that and say, well, the gun manufacturer knew that this could happen, and so now the gun manufacturer is also liable for involuntary manslaughter?
So you see where I come from. That's where my mind goes to. As soon as I saw it, I was like, hold up, wait a minute. What can we do now? Like, what is it going to happen now?
It's extremely important that the actual case text and the opinion of the judge's orders are published and that we all know what this is. Because, yeah, depending on what he wrote, then this could be very damaging to the Second Amendment.
Correct.
Or, okay, because I think that if this guns were not secured and this happened and a minor was responsible, then yeah, the parents were at fault. Like, dude, secure, watch out for your kids.
Right. I think what's going to come out as far as, you know, good from this particular piece of information and for this particular judgment is the fact that gun ownership is going to be taken a lot more serious in every single state in our nation. That is the first thing that will happen. Because the people, and this is something that I am extremely against when it comes to gun ownership. If you have a gun and you have it laying around in your freaking house without it being protected and you have children in the house, you should have that gun taken away from you. I don't agree that it should be taken away from you, but I think somebody in your family and your friend, you know, in your circle of friends should slap the shit out of you and be like, are you fucking stupid? That's what needs to happen, Joseph, like in all honesty, because you are putting your life and the life of your children at jeopardy, period.
And there's the tools to help you if somebody kicks your fucking door down, right. Like you should stay ready
right.
if you can. The gun should be, if it's a concealed level carry gun,
yeah,
it should
of course.
Be probably on you in your house. And if it's some kind of rifle, then it should probably be secured somewhere. Like
secure enough know. That you can get to it and open it and lock, load, fuck off, and do it. That's it.
One of the scariest things that happened to me in relation to guns is when I was maybe 20 years old, I was an idiot, and I had guns in my house, in my apartment in New Mexico. Somebody broke into my house and stole all my guns. And I was like, oh, my God, like, I reported that to the police,
and
they chewed me out. They're like, why wasn't your gun secure? And I was like, well, I didn't have a gun.
I'm a 20-year-old dumbass. That's basically
I did not think that somebody could break into my house. And so thank God nothing happened of that. And I filed a police report and everything. But, man, it is – having a gun is a massive responsibility to yourself, to your family.
Absolutely.
And then using it, because if you ever have to defend yourself in a city like San Antonio, for example, where I live, you're, even if you're doing it in self-defense, you're likely going to be arrested and charged with a crime. The judge will decide, or the jury. But yeah, like, man, like, you need to have respect for guns. Like,
absolutely.
They No joke. If you point it at somebody, you should be ready to fire. And
100%.
if you point it at anybody, you should not be pointing your gun at somebody unless your intention is to unalive them, right?
Right.
Clearly, like, unless you want to hurt them in a deadly way, your gun should never be pointed at somebody, and you should respect your gun. You should practice with your gun, and you should probably train your kids on how to use your gun
100%.
under supervision, so that if they ever need to use it, they're not gonna hurt themselves.
Exactly.
One of the most dangerous people are people that are trying to defend themselves with a gun that have never used that gun.
Exactly.
They
Exactly.
end up hurting themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And that's how we're going to tie it to the next piece of information.
You don't need the government to tell you that, by the
Right, of
way.
course not. I agree
Second
with you.
Amendment supporters will say this.
Right.
I think that you can ask here in Texas, everybody's
Anybody.
backing.
Yes.
Most reasonable adults here in the state of Texas, conservative Republicans, will say this is a tool that must be respected. And
Absolutely.
if you don't respect the tool, you can be held accountable for
Yeah,
that.
I agree with you. And in the same, in the same light, we're going to talk about the last news for today. We're at 1 hour and 5, and if you're still here, thank you so much for watching. I appreciate you. Like, share, comment, subscribe. Subscribe to at Joseph Trimmer on X. Subscribe to at Free Speech Studio or Free Speech Podcast and at Base Texas. Right? Did I say them right?
Yep, at Based Texas. That's the Free Speech Podcast account, and the studio account is at Speech Studios.
Perfect. If you're here, please subscribe to those. Subscribe to at Frankie USN 1987, at TLTE underscore podcast on YouTube, on actual X. Please do. The last piece comes with the same idea of if you have a gun, you should actually have it secure. If you are a country or the leader of a country, you shouldn't be parading your actual nuclear armament, like if it was your manhood, for that matter. You shouldn't be parading in a way. You shouldn't be touting another side with actual aggression, because that is not the modus of deterrence in this world. The best mode of deterrence in this world is knowing that somebody else has the capability to do harm, but yet again, they choose to not do it. That to me is the most inherent value that we learned from the Cold War. Both sides had the capability to end the other. Yet again, neither one fired them their nuclear weapons. So today, the piece of news comes from the wonderful Emmanuel Macron, the biggest douchebag in fucking Europe. Because to me, this man might have some of the sentiment of the actual French people. But in another way, he has the audacity to tout and parade basically his nuclear armament against Russia because of the Ukraine-Russia war. Everybody internationally feels that they need to have a humongous stance and to safeguard Ukraine from the evil that it is the Russian government and Vladimir Putin. I do not agree with what he's doing right now. So this is what I'm going to read to you from the actual New York Times. And it says, Macron and Scholz, or Scholz, meet, looking to patch up differences in Ukraine because Germany does not feel the same that France does. The leaders of France and Germany tried to heal an increasingly public rift over their approach to the war, holding talks alongside Poland's prime minister on support to Kyiv. And then from the left to right, if you don't know who they are, if you're watching right now, it's going to be from the left is going to be Chancellor Scholz, Germany, Prime Minister Tusk from actual, excuse me, Poland, and then Emmanuel Macron.
This is why we need to elect, in my opinion, Donald Trump for president, because the only reason that this Come on, it's France, okay? It's not like they have any freaking balls. Like, the only reason that Macron feels comfortable enough to say that he's readying the France's military forces to go to war in Ukraine on behalf of Ukraine, one of the most corrupt countries in Europe, is that he has Biden's that he has Biden's support for war. And so if the situation was Donald Trump is elected, Donald Trump doesn't want war.
Right.
And so suddenly Macron is out there on his own. Do you really think that France would do very well against a war with Russia? I don't think
I
so.
don't think
The
so either.
only reason he's confident like this is that he's got NATO's back. But the thing is
Correct.
that the whole idea of Article 5 of NATO, where it's like if we are attacked, everybody's attacked, only applies if you are being attacked first. And so
Correct.
if France goes and does this on their own, then NATO doesn't need to have his back, and the United States doesn't need to have his back. And why would we risk getting a nuclear weapon go off in Washington, D.C. or New
Right.
York City?
Yeah, or anywhere in this country in that matter. Yes, of course.
Serious.
It's an interesting notion because in his expressions and what he said, not necessarily in that talk, but when asked what would happen if Russia actually wins the war? He said, and I quote, and this is from MSN.com, if Russia wins this war, Europe's credibility will be reduced to zero. He said this, criticizing his comments. Some people within the French community actually said that they were a little bellicose. And he said, deeply disagrees with the opposition leaders. Because everybody in the opposition is saying, Macron, you better stop this crap. And if you remember a little bit further back, about 2 months ago, actually, I would say 2, 3 months ago, when he actually polled the citizens that were in Jerusalem when the attack of October 7 happened, he went in and he got them out. He got them out. He said, they're not going to be involved in this crap. They're French citizens. They're France takes care of its people. And he went and took him out. The same thing that Mexico did, the same thing that a lot of countries around the world did. But the idea that he has and he is trying to portray with all the EU nations is that we need to stop Russia at all costs. And it is creating the same sentiment that was back in the days of the Iron Curtain. Because at the end of the day, all he wants is, in my sincere, honest to God's opinion, is a totalitarian regime in Europe. He likes the fact that the EU is actually implemented, but the way that he speaks is one of an actual czar or an actual emperor, trying to revive the times of Napoleon Bonaparte.
Well, in this case, he doesn't. He talks about, he says, if Russia wins, Europe's credibility is in shambles or
Correct.
whatever.
But who
Well,
made him the spokesperson for actual the EU and Europe as a whole? You know what I mean?
exactly. Like, you're the president of France. You worry about the reputation that Europe has. Europe has no reputation, and they've embarrassed
Exactly.
themselves beyond belief.
Enough.
France is being weak. They can.
100%.
And shut the fuck up. Like,
Right.
nobody wants to go to war, Macron.
Nobody wants that.
Don't want that. The American people don't have your back. And France is too weak to do this on his own. So instead of saber rattling, he should back down. And look, we know what happens when foreign troops go to war in
Right.
France. They immediately defeat the French, or the French just give up. We saw that over and over again. So excuse me, sir, you need to probably resign from your disgraceful office.
Absolutely. And he won the popular vote again because a lot of immigrants that came in actually saw him as a beacon of hope. Well, I wonder if that's being played anywhere else in the world. Oh my God. Is it the American people that are seeing that right now? He went to say that if war spreads in Europe, Russia would be to blame. Macron added. But if we decide to be weak, if we decide today that we would not respond, it would be choosing defeat already. And I don't want that. Again, who made him the spokesperson for Europe? I want to know that. More so, he said that when being precise about drawing red lines when it comes to Europe as a whole against the Ukraine and Russia war, he said that he doesn't want to do so because he wants Russia to stop this war and retreat from its position and allow peace, he said. I am not going to be to give visibility to someone who has not given me any. That is a question for President Putin. And the other question is that he said he should not be precise. Is he planning on sending French troops to the border with Russia and actually help the push that Ukraine is trying to do right now? Those are the questions that you have to ask yourself when you're seeing the president of a sovereign nation within the European continent making expressions like that. I don't know how far can he go to change the opinion of the European Parliament. I really do not know, because I don't think that he has the will and the actual backing of the people within his bordering countries, because Emmanuel Macron has been an actual person that has been very, very polarizing for the EU. He has made expressions that have made everybody within Europe look like fools, and that is a very unfortunate issue. We're going to close with this today. And it was one that was filled, you know, a particular episode that was filled with a lot of emotion, a lot of anger. And for those of you who don't like profanity, I sincerely apologize, because I don't want you to feel uncomfortable about the way that I speak. But it had to be said. So in closing statements, I'm going to give the floor to Joseph. Joseph, tell us where people can find you. Tell us, you know, what you're working on. Tell us anything that you want, brother.
Sure. So the thing that I am the most concerned about in my local community and that I am working to address is the NGO human trafficking of children happening in the state of Texas. You know, through our reporting, Frankie, and thanks to a lot of your help, we determined that in the state of Texas, we have 150 children facilities for unaccompanied illegal alien children. These children are being found working in brutal jobs, even here in the state of Texas, meat processing factories, they're doing roofing. And what ends up happening is they leave the NGOs and the government gives them to these like really poor vetted sponsors that will sometimes charge these kids for sponsoring them. And so you have maybe a 12-year-old, they just got to the country illegally, they're by themselves, they don't have parents, they're with this sponsor that says, you owe me $10,000 for having you here, and you will work for until you pay me that money. And so these kids are working brutal jobs as indentured servants in the United States. And so the thing that I'm more passionate about is this issue. And I am currently going undercover at the NGOs in Texas, and we'll be bringing out the information and recordings of what is happening. It is dark. It is disgusting. It is demonic. And if you want to check this out, you can find me on X and all of the social media platforms at @JosephTrimmer_. I face a lot of censorship and I have been banned previously. So if you don't find me, then you can also look for our studio account, which is @SpeechStudios. And if you want to hear the podcast, you can look at Based Texas, which is our podcast account. Hopefully that redundancy in accounts will help us, you know, in case I get banned again, we'll be able to still continue getting the message out. So we'd appreciate a follow. And thank you, Frankie, for having me on your show.
Thank you for being over, man. I appreciate it.
It's been a lot of fun. And I really respect the hustle and the grind that you've been putting in on building your show on X. I think that despite its flaws, X is the free speech platform. Great. And I think that there is no other platform in the world today where, you know, you and I could have built between both of us now 25,000 followers or something, 20,000 followers between both of us.
100% easy.
Mm-hmm. And millions of views by talking about the issues that we care about the most. And so I salute you for your grind and your effort.
Likewise.
And you're setting a great example for other Hispanic Americans that they should be speaking up and putting in the work. So well done, sir. And thank you for having me.
Thank you for being, you know, here, Joseph. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your time and everything that you do as well. And thank you for giving me the visibility that I have needed to grow as I have grown. Because if it would have been for you and people like Hernando Arce, And even Danny listen underscore 93, man, we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank you for, you know, for the plugs that you have in every show that you've been on, and for, you know, just being a good friend. I appreciate it. And never. In closing, today was one filled with a lot of emotion. Today was an actual show that we brought somebody in, and I saved this spot particularly for somebody that I respect and I emulate, and I consider him a good friend of mine, because God has a very mysterious way of putting us together. And I think that in the same way that he feels that God put me in his way, God put him in my way. And I appreciate that to the extent, and we will always, I'm certain that we will always be, you know, very good friends. In one capacity or another, we're always going to help each other. You know, God gave us the opportunity to be here in front of you. And with that in mind, we have to share the actual information in front of us. We have to share our opinion. And we have to draw the conclusions that for some shape, way, or form, or possibility, you out there that is watching us is not doing, because you possibly don't have the time. You possibly don't have the actual expertise to be looking at this type of information and dissecting it in the way that we're doing. So with that being said, you can find me at FrankieUSN1987. You can find me at TLTE underscore podcast on YouTube and on X. And you can also find me on Rumble at TLTE podcast. Thank you for watching. Thank you so much for being here. Like, share, follow, subscribe. And please tell your friends of this kind of issues that we're living in our country. It is important, because at the end of the day, this is your country as well. It doesn't matter if you're in the left. It doesn't matter if you're in the right. At the end of the day, we all want the same thing. And it is for America to thrive in the best way possible in front of us. Again, thank you for watching. I appreciate you. I wish you the best. God bless you. God bless America. And remember to always think like the enemy.
That's it for this episode of Think Like the Enemy. We hope you've enjoyed the discussion and gained new insights and perspectives on today's issue. If you did, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform and share this episode with your friends. You can also follow us on social media and send us your feedback, questions, and suggestions for future topics. Thank you for listening. And remember, the best way to understand the world is to think like the enemy. Until next time.